Welcome to School of Dad with Adam, Johnny and Callum, fumbling their way through fatherhood.
What was the argument about?
I don't know, you know, something stupid, but a mum give her a foot massage and that's what we think set it off. Not the argument, I mean, but your mum touches your foot again.
Oh, Toby's doing his favourite thing, he's pushing stools.
Pushing stools?
Yeah, he loves to push furniture.
Stools, yeah.
I remember hiding in the shower crying, going, I can't do this anymore. And then our midwife, she was crying, I was like, this is just too much.
Well, because Maisie was in so much pain.
Yeah, her epidural failed.
Got into delivery suite and the doctor went, well, you're having your baby tonight. What do you mean? He's only 26 weeks. How can a 26-week live? We can't do this. Keep him in.
So to put it into perspective, definitely the birth of my child was more mad than seeing someone wank someone off at the quiz.
Yeah.
Class, be seated. This is School of Dad with Adam, Johnny and Callum.
Welcome to episode 2 of School of Dad. Toby, we've got my little boy Toby with us. Yes.
I told you not to bring kids. I just broke your mic.
I'm Adam, father of Toby.
I'm Johnny, father of Alex.
I'm Callum, father of Ralph.
Yeah, Alex was going to be here, but he's just gone out for a dance lesson, is he, or something?
He's gone for a dance lesson.
Yeah. Serious slap cheek.
Yeah, he's gone for a dance lesson.
And he's got something called slap cheek, or
slap cheek, I think, yeah. It's just a little viral thing, gives them red cheeks, but he doesn't have it.
I'm pleased that Toby and him are separate, because Toby loves to catch things from Alex.
Stop blaming everything on
That's
Alex.
That's because Johnny's
The last episode revealed that not all of us plan to become dads. Three very different tales. I'm just going to put Toby down. Toby.
So, how long did that last?
Stay there, mate.
Leave him there.
You do whatever you want, okay?
There's a lot of Alex's toys over there you can go play with. They're probably all contaminated with loads of different diseases. Do you know the box with all the audio gear in?
Put them in.
That's empty now, so.
We could put Toby in there.
You could just set him in the box, maybe.
Ooh. Oh, Toby's doing his favourite thing. He's pushing stools.
Pushing stools?
Yeah, he loves to push furniture.
Stools, furniture.
He loves to push furniture. He's a little removal man in the making.
I'm glad we cleared that up. Yeah.
This is School of Dad.
So, should we do episode 2?
Let's do it.
So
by popular demand.
Yeah.
I don't know who's asked for it, but we'll do it anyway. It's called The Birth. Did we all have our little ones in hospital?
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, I thought you meant, we were in hospital, yeah.
What did you think of then?
I don't know, I just thought, like, did we take them with us to hospital for a minute? And I was like, well, yeah, cool, well, yeah.
So I think we'll have the births in hospital.
Yeah. Did we all plan to have the births in hospital?
Yeah, we didn't have an option because of Maisie had Set B, which they test for at 8 weeks.
Okay.
And only 8 weeks.
And what is
what
it?
It's like it can be anything. It's not really a bad infection, but it can be like, you can touch yourself 1 minute and you'd have it, the next day you won't, but they only test for it once.
It's not
life-threatening or anything like that.
It's not scary either.
No, it can just go through to the baby.
You had it at Wiston Hospital. Johnny and I both had our babies at the Liverpool Women's Hospital.
Liverpool Women's, yeah.
Yours arrived a little bit early, didn't it, Johnny?
I think 34 weeks. Let me just try to cast my mind back here. we went on a trip to London. We just went, seen something in the theatre, went for dinner and stayed over in London. And it was when we came back that night, it was the next morning, we woke up and she was like, I think my waters have broke, like, but it wasn't loads,
yeah,
so it wasn't like a big movie gush, it was like just a little bit.
Yourself.
So we went in and checked, and I think it was partially, her waters had gone partially. So we waited in for ages, and then they sent her home and said, if they don't go, Toby, hold on, this isn't even my child.
No, Johnny, thank you very much.
If they haven't gone in 24 hours, we'll induce you. So Louise ended up coming home, and I ended up going to work. But then halfway through my shift, Louise, I had to leave. And if you know, when I say my shift, you know, I work as a sort of DJ on stage. And I had a sort of understudy there with me.
So it was during the actual show?
During the show, yeah. So I just said, like, it was class because I was on stage and I just said to the crowd, you know, like,
I'm having a baby.
I gotta go.
It's on video, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, I gotta go. I'm gonna be a dad.
Oh, and my God, that's like, amazing.
And you pass the t-shirt over, don't you?
Yeah, I passed my t-shirt over to the other host and I left. But then we stayed up all night. So we went in the evening and it was really, really slow process. They kept checking to see like how many centimetres you're dilated and stuff. And I remember Louise was in an awful lot of pain. When we first went in, she was really struggling. And it was like a kind of...
Toby, that's not funny.
Pain is not funny. She was really struggling with the pain, and it was actually making her sick. All she was having was gas and air,
And is that all she wanted? She didn't want an epidural?
Well, she didn't want an epidural, but they were going to give her more pain relief. She didn't want to take it, is because apparently it can make the baby a little drowsy when they come out. So she didn't want it. And she was in so much pain. I said, listen, you got to take this pain relief, because you're just like, she's had like 5 hours of just being in pain. So she took it, and it was great because, one, it relaxed her. You know, she had a little bit of a sleep. And then, you know, it was me and her mum there as well, so we had a bit of a rest. I went heavy on the gas and air because she wasn't letting me do it. She was like, don't do gas and air, you're messing around. And then as soon as she went to sleep, I was like, it's gas and air time.
And what does it make you feel like?
It's a bit like, have you ever done a balloon?
It's like laughing gas in it.
It's like laughing gas.
No, never done one.
You've never done a balloon?
No, a helium.
Not like a balloon, like, shh, I'm not condoning it, but it's just like that. And I just went mad on it and then passed out.
Really?
Yeah, on the floor.
What did Louise's mum say?
Louise's mum wasn't there. She took a break. So when no one else was in the room, I just went on it. You got to do it. It's a laugh.
Got to have a go.
And then I was underneath loads of clothes and like coats. And then later on, when the nurse came back in, or the midwife, she like tripped over me, over thinking it was a big pile of clothes. And then I just was like, like awakened from a sleep. What's happening?
This is School of Dad with Adam, Johnny and Callum.
I think it was good to went for the pain relief. I know a lot of people trying to just maybe don't do it.
I know where you're coming from. It's when you're watching someone, like obviously like Maisie or Louise, go through that much pain, you don't want to see it anymore. I know it's like a bit selfish, but I remember hiding in the shower crying, going, I can't do this anymore. And then our midwife, she was crying. I was like, this is just too much.
Well, because Maisie was in so much pain.
Yeah, her epidural failed. But she'd also had Syntocin, which speeds everything up.
We've been through this. Pain isn't funny.
He loves it, doesn't he?
Pain isn't funny.
So, we got to a point where we had to get it sped up. And they used something called Syntocin. So, obviously, the contractions got faster. So, the pain intensified, but the epidural didn't work. So, she had all this pain, 4 hours of that. And I was just like...
What were the things that she was saying?
She just wanted... She was like, obviously, wanted a C-section, begging for anything. She wanted to, like...
Did she have a go at you, though?
No, she was good. But she was just, like... It was just more screaming. It was just, like, proper... painful
and
screaming.
Had you heard her scream before?
I don't think I've ever heard anyone scream in that much pain.
Really?
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard to like really struggle to like to keep it together then. And that was after like probably 30 hours.
How long did Louise's
labour take? We went in the night. So I went there about 11. She was in on the gas and air, and then she had the pain relief, and then it was kind of chilled for a while because she wanted to maybe have a water birth. Or I don't know if it was a water birth, but there was like a bath, like a hydro to just chill out. So she would get in the pool.
Did you get in?
No, I didn't get in. It was a bit weird though, just like sitting there with her naked and like me and her mum just sitting watching her in the pool.
Was she sort of just sat back and relaxed? Was she on all fours?
No, she was sitting like a bobsleigh racer. I don't know why have I thought of a bobsleigh racer.
But so lying backwards or forwards?
No, just like hold on, let me start again. But she was like, just sitting in the bath. Yeah. Forget cast bobsleighing out.
Tucked in that.
Tucked in.
Trying to be aerodynamic.
Yeah, it wasn't like that little baby popping out down the tube. No, it wasn't like no. So after that, the dilation wasn't going as fast. And there was a thought that she would maybe have to have a C-section.
Yeah.
Because her waters had broken, it had been like 24 hours, so they like to kind of get the baby out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they can maybe contract infections and stuff. They were brilliant because we went in and they said, listen, we're going to just plan for everything. You could actually have the birth naturally, but we're going to actually get you like pretty much set up ready to have a C-section. So we went into theatre. She had like the epidural or whatever.
You might be able to hear in the background your washing machine.
Do you know what,
to the end of the cycle.
Do you know what that is? That's reusable nappies, but that's for another conversation.
And you're not a fan?
Well, a lot of people just use a nappy and throw it in the bin.
Okay, well, already by the tone of your voice, I can tell you're not a fan, but we'll talk about this in another episode.
I'm trying to talk about the miracle of birth, Adam.
You're good. Not the crap when you clean nappies.
Not cleaning shit out of nappies, but it does help the environment and the turtles.
Yeah. This is School of Dad, the new dad survival guide.
She went into theatre. She had the birth naturally, but she'd already had an epidural, which means she couldn't like feel, but they were telling her to push. The head was coming out. I was sitting down, holding her hand, and she was pushing and pushing. And they asked me, because the head came out, and she said, oh, it's got loads of hair, black hair. And then the woman asked, would I like to come and like, because there was like 4 or 5 people in there. At the goal end, so they said, do you want to come round? and see. And I was like, a lot of people had told me not to go and look.
Please tell me you looked.
No, I didn't.
No chance.
But the reason I didn't was because my legs had gone. I couldn't really stand. I was just
the gas and air so has gone too. No.
He was back on
the gas and air was about 8 or 9 hours previous. I was all clean. I was sober from the gas.
Shaking
I know
a
my,
bit.
My legs is gone, and it was just the whole thing was just really overwhelming. And then they ended up saying that they were going to use clamps, so like they use almost like barbecue tongs to like help because it wasn't coming out fast enough.
Yeah.
They basically made
like forceps.
Forceps, that's it. Yeah. What did I say?
You said barbecue tongs.
Barbecue tongs, bobsleighs. God, the imagery. Yeah. Well, they are they're forceps, and they go in, and I think they actually make like a little incision in the vag, like a wee nick.
So they cut it to open it further.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Oh, because they sometimes slice the female gooch as well, don't they?
Okay, lovely terminology there.
Yeah.
What, the female gooch?
Isn't it called the perineum?
Whatever, Professor. No, well, so, but anyway, they got.
Just,
I'm building up to the miracle here.
I'm so sorry.
So they pulled him out with the tongs, and they brought him straight over to like a scales or a worktop over to the side. But the thing is, he didn't like cry right away, and he was also quite purpley. Probably was only 10 seconds, but it was literally like the longest 10 seconds of my life. I was just sitting there, just going. Just cry, just cry, just cry, just cry. And then finally, I'm pretty sure they maybe even gave him a wee slap on the back. And then next minute he started to cry. And it was just like, my head was gone. And yeah, I did. I was like crying, but not just like, just it's the most mental experience. And I don't think anything can actually ever prepare you for it. And it is just such a mad, primal, just out of this world. Like, what the fuck is going on here? This is just insane.
Life changed forever.
It's just, do you know what? It's not even, for me, it wasn't even like that. It wasn't like, unlike you, Adam, where it's like, oh, great, I can't play football now all the time or play on the PlayStation. For me, it was just like, this is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
It's mental. So when they asked me, did I want to come and cut the cord? And I'd like stood up, jelly legs, like sort of walked over. And the woman, I think, actually had to like push my fingers together because I was just in such a state of shock. And also he looked battered and bruised when he came out because of the forceps and because he'd been in like the medical term, like the bottom end of the vag for a long while. His head was like almost like a cone.
Squashed, yeah.
So that's the forceps as well doing
so
that.
So the forceps, So he came out a little bit like alien looking as well. He's like bright purple. Squashed face, big long sort of like cone head, and like it was amazing, but I was also like really scared, like this is nuts.
It's the maddest feeling.
Have I got an alien baby as well? Yeah. You know, but
immediately when he saw him, he didn't go, "Oh my god, you're the most beautiful thing."
No, I just thought you look mental.
Yeah,
poor guy. Well, I kind of had an idea because my mum said my brother looked like he just finished a boxing match when he come out, so I was kind of expecting. Look a bit rough, but
so don't expect is some advice. Don't expect your baby to look like the most beautiful thing
look,
in the world.
They look nuts, and I think I think after it's always such a bit of a laugh when you see in the movies. I think it's the movies got a little bit better, but when you look back at some like old movies and they come out like a 1-year-old, like just with a wee speckle of blood on them, and they're all like smiling.
Yeah. Bit
like,
of foundation as well to make them look better.
He came out with like loads of mad like shite on him. It wasn't like gross. There's the cycle's just gone.
So the washing machine's just ended. Yeah.
So I'll have to hang those nappies up at the end of this instead of just going and buying packets of nappies. But it's the environment, isn't it? It helps the turtles.
Completely.
Exactly. Don't want to see a plastic straw in this house.
This is School of Dad with Adam and Toby, Johnny and Alex, and Callum and Ralph.
So I've been quite quiet about this bit so far because our story, mine and Toby's and Gemma's, my wife,
the old ball and shit.
Yeah, our story's a bit mad. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah. We were 26 weeks along and we just got back from holiday. The missus had swelled up a little bit. We were both a bit worried. So she went to the doctors and they said, well, we think you need to go over to the women's hospital. And at this point, I was playing a tennis match on the court and I got a phone call from Gemma saying, the doctors say you need to come to the hospital quite soon. And I was like, Yeah, mate. You allow the others to talk. Why don't you let your daddy talk? Because it's so boring.
Fed up with it, about it, yeah.
It's like 20th time. Yeah. This week.
So, yeah, I was on a tennis court, and part of me was like, do I finish off the set or not? But I remembered my Gemma likes to underplay things. And so I got to the hospital and was sent straight to delivery suite. I was thinking, well, this is mad. Why are we going to delivery suite?
So it's 26 weeks, like 5 months, is it?
It's nearly 6 months. Got into delivery suite and the doctor went, well, you're having your baby tonight. What do you mean? He's only 26 weeks. How can a 26 week live? We can't do this. Keep him in. And she was like, no, because Gemma had developed severe preeclampsia.
What is it?
Yeah.
Basically, it's when the placenta starts to poison the mother's body and blood pressure, first of all, goes through the roof. She had a team of doctors around her. They were all trying to get her blood pressure under control. Your blood pressure will be about 120 over 80. Her blood pressure went to 220 over 160. And they were like, any second now, you could have a stroke and you could die. So we need to get this little baby out of you. They waited about 12 hours because they tried about 10 different blood pressure drugs. What was the beeping? Time's up, Adam. Boom. That was enough. She had to have some really mad drugs that were injected in her to stop her having a stroke. This magnesium drug, which basically sends you like a fire inside your body and you start burning up. And what that does is protect your brain. It was all mad. It all went
off.
Was
she awake when they did
that? Yeah, she just handled it so well.
What did she do? Just like lie in a cold bath or something?
No, she wasn't able to. She was stuck to the bed. They put a catheter in. Don't expect at 26 weeks that your baby's going to have to be born. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They took her to go and have little Toby. So it was an emergency C-section. I wasn't allowed in. Because she needed a platelet transfusion as well. Because it turns out she had severe preeclampsia and something called HELLP syndrome, which is not nice, mate. You don't laugh about HELLP syndrome. Basically, her liver failed, her kidneys failed, and her platelets crashed. She was close to not making it. I had to wait in a room by myself whilst they went into theatre. And I remember that moment of her going off into theatre, and I was just like, I just started bawling because I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to see her again.
How long were you on your own for?
So I was on my own for about 45 minutes.
Shit.
I was in pieces. But then the doctor who had seen Gemma that night, she'd clocked off her shift, but she'd seen that I was waiting in that room. And she just came and sat with me and let me know everything that was going on. She talked to me the whole time. She didn't need to do that, but she was above and beyond.
Amazing.
Incredible. Her name is Dr. Helen Skelton. And she is absolutely incredible.
When you asked later on, when you went in the next day and you said, can I speak to Dr. Helen Skelton? Did they say, Dr. Helen Skelton hasn't worked here in 22 years. she passed away in a tornado, the big tornado of 85. And you were talking to a ghost or an angel.
Three dads, three babies, three completely different lives. This is School of Dad.
16 minutes past two, little Toby was delivered. And at 26 weeks, obviously, they had the neonatal crew in there. He got wheeled over to me. Gemma was still, obviously, under general anaesthetic. And he had a ventilator tube in his mouth, so he was ventilated. I mean, I just saw this little hairless sort of hamster in a way. He was
What weight was he?
So he was born 760 grams, which is £1.11.
That's mad.
And they looked at me like, are you going to say he looks beautiful? And I just looked at him and I just thought, how are you even alive? You do that. So then he got whisked to the neonatal unit, intensive care. Gemma then came out about 10 minutes later. I heard her say, just as they were wheeling her out, am I still on a beach? And she thought, with all the morphine and everything, the general anaesthetic, she thought she was still on holiday.
She was having a good time then.
Yeah. She came round and then she couldn't see him all day. I think it was the next day she could see him because she was still quite poorly. She got septicemia and a few other things. And then I was just like, well, who do I go and see? Do I go and see this little Toby, our little boy, who literally might not make it the next few hours, let alone the next day? And so it was quite tough.
Alex was brought into the neonatal for, what's it called when they're a little bit yellow?
Jaundice.
It was mental, because obviously when he came out and he was with Louise, just in like a ward beside us, and when we had him, and then they were like, it was only for an hour or so, and then they went, oh no, he's a little bit jaundiced, we've got to take him. So then they like take him and put him in like what I was just called the boo box, and it was just like it's just one of the little plastic incubators. Oh, yeah. but because he was in there and like wired up, but I just felt so helpless that he was in that little box, and it really actually made it, put it into perspective as well, because I knew like how I felt, And then after seeing you and knowing how long Toby had been in for and the stuff that Toby was going through, it just made me like, my heart poured out for you as well, Adam, because it was just like, Alex is in a box, he's got a bit of jaundice, and I'm like freaking out.
Yeah.
It was in the first week, this little one got pneumonia and nearly died. Jen was still in hospital. She came out after 6 days. The only time which I actually think we smiled a bit in those 6 days was because of the cesarean section. She got really bad trapped wind. Did Maisie have the same?
No. Bad poos, though. Massive poos, like.
Really?
The poos
really?
Have never been the same since. Yeah, I reckon they've probably just done a job and put everything in the wrong way. Gemma.
Trying to squeeze the air out. She'll, Gemma will hate me for this. Yeah. So I told her to sit on the toilet to see what happens. And after about 10 minutes, we just hear... It went on for around 20 seconds and she finally released some air and it made her feel a lot better. But the trapped wind, she said, was probably the most painful thing out of the whole ordeal for her.
This is School of Dad with Adam, Johnny and Callum.
Oh, I've got something to show you, actually.
Oh?
Something to show you.
What's in the bag?
What's
in the bag? Let's all have a look. What's in the bag? You'll learn that from Story Barn.
Oh, really? I haven't been to Story Barn.
Well, it's basically just...
That's what me and Johnny call a bad dad.
We call... it's our Friday club. We spend basically an hour just asking the question, what's in the bag? What is in the bag, Adam?
This was his little hat when he was first born. And that's how small his head was.
Have you got his umbilical cord in there as well?
No, we haven't got his umbilical cord. And this was the nappies that he was wearing because he was so small. At £1.11...
That is mental.
He hasn't pissed in this or something, has he?
No. The neonatal unit, it's like you don't even realise it's there because you just don't expect that you're going to have to go there.
I've never heard of it.
And it's so neonatal is where little babies like Toby will go if they're premature.
To get radicalised.
Well, people just think that they go there and they grow. That's what they think. They get in an incubator, in a little box, and they grow.
They do grow, though.
The babies do grow.
That's one thing I never thought.
What?
Well, like... So when Toby was born, I'm sure he didn't have like eyelashes or eyebrows and stuff.
No,
he but didn't. You grow them. Did you know that?
Well, you know, hair grows and that.
Sometimes babies are born like without ears if they're really premature.
Oh, and then they grow.
They just grow in the incubator outside.
I don't know if they're born without ears.
No, some babies can be.
What? But then they grow an ear.
Or
in
could
these
be born without all their fingers and they grow.
I think when they're born, I think once they're at the womb, they won't grow another finger.
No, they keep growing stuff.
Okay,
Google that and you
check
can
that. Yeah,
Google that and you can edit in like a little disclaimer.
But it is true. Babies can grow.
What
fingers.
He was saying was correct.
This little man had 11 blood transfusions. They were just fine. He was nicknamed the Count because he loved blood that much. He had 3 surgeries because he got neck, which is necrotizing enterocolitis. Which can kill and should have killed because he had a 20% chance of survival. Thankfully, all the hay saved his life. He had 2 brain bleeds. So he had a bleed on the right side and the left side of the brain. It was hard not having family with us. So you really needed friends. So like Johnny was amazing. Callum, I didn't know.
Sorry,
you
mate.
Really.
I would have been there for you.
He was like getting drunk.
Yeah.
But you should have been there for me, mate.
This is School of Dad.
I think you should have gone last, maybe.
I should
if you were having a game of top trumps here, you'd probably win.
So the birth.
Yeah. So Herbert was broke on my birthday in the morning, and we'd had an argument the day before, surprisingly. She went to bed, I stayed downstairs, got into bed at about 11.
What was the argument about?
I don't know, you know, something stupid, but her mum gave her a foot massage and that's what we think set it off. Not the argument, I mean, but your mum touches your foot again. Yeah, so I went to bed about 11 and she woke me up at 1 in the morning going, oh, my waters are broke. And she'd been having really bad nightmares through the pregnancy. I'm not sure if anyone else's girlfriend had
nightmares.
Yeah, she had really bad
nightmares.
Just like thinking that stuff was going bad. So I'd be waking up constantly and just having to like just calm down. It was like almost every night. It was really bad. But I did have a nightmare one night where I thought I was getting injected by, what's his name out of 30 Seconds to Mars? He's an actor as well,
Jared Leto.
Yeah, and I woke up and I was punching her in the boob because I thought she was Jared Leto while she was pregnant. She went, get off me. Mad, that.
Get off me, Jared Leto.
Yeah. Right, yeah, so that's why when she woke me up at 1 in the morning saying the waters have broke, I wasn't too, I thought she was just having a nightmare dream. So I just said, yeah, whatever, give me 5 more minutes. And then she woke me up again saying, no, seriously, like, it's gushing out here. And then she was on the toilet, I remember looking, So I just said, I'll tell you what, phone the midwife, I'll have another 10 minutes, and then we'll see what's going on.
So like a proper waterfall?
Yeah, it was like gushing out, yeah. Okay. So we
gushing is a bit of a...
Gushing's the correct term when talking about term, waters. Yeah, that's not... what they say when you phone.
Okay.
Yeah. They go, they think my water's gone, they go, is it gushing? And you go, is it a mega tsunami? Yeah. You best come in for a checkup.
Yeah, so we spent ages in the house just kind of looking at each other, going like, we didn't really know what to do, like packing stuff in a bag, and then we just like, I'd find her on the landing and be like, what are you doing? She'd be like, oh, I don't know. So we got to the hospital about 2-3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And they checked her and they were like, yeah, your waters have gone. And then they thought I was going to have to go home, but then they were like, we found your room, which we made the most out of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we chilled out, relaxed.
What do you mean you made the most out of?
Well, it was my birthday, wasn't it?
Here so we go.
Here we go.
Don't go into it.
No, but you get a few certain things on your birthday,
so
don't you?
So you've just been admitted to hospital.
The waters are broke, yeah. We've been there about 6 hours. We've got a room.
Your birthday.
And it's his birthday, so he gets his treat.
I did get my birthday treat, and I'm not talking about birthday cake.
So not cake. What do you mean?
Anyway.
Our first 24 hours was class. We were like, bouncing around, having a laugh.
Can we just gonna try and find Toby? Which is a toy that Toby should play with?
Let me see.
He's currently climbing
the
walls.
He's on an absolute mad one here, isn't he?
You've done really well, mate.
The story's not about you. You're kicking off now. Yeah.
That wasn't Toby, by the way, dropping. They were toys.
That Johnny has found. There's a selection of toys for him.
Diddy kicks there.
So she'd just given you your birthday treat.
Yeah, and then a mum came with some birthday cake.
Yeah.
But we were just relaxing, and then she had, I'm not sure what it's called, but it makes your cervix go softer.
Toby, do you know?
It's like the gel that makes it softer. So we were trying to say it like, because we were doing hypnobirthing, we were staying away from any painkillers. Okay. I think she might have had a paracetamol or something, but that was it. But she was mooing. She was literally stood at the end of the bed. And then every time a contraction was coming through, I remember being in the toilet and she heard like a proper moo. And I was like, are you all right? And she was like, I don't know. She didn't know why she was doing this noise. She was just doing this noise. But she was laughing, so it was all right. So we'll go.
Can you recreate it for the benefit of us?
I think it was more like a and then a because she didn't know why.
This is School of Dad.
Once we went over to the ward, the delivery suite, the women were saying to me there, all the midwives were like, they were like amazed by that she'd done it for 24 hours without any painkiller.
Wow.
But I thought they were just saying it to big her up, do you know what I mean, while she was there. But when I was outside, they were like, no, that's mental.
It's incredible what women can do and what they go through during this process.
Yeah, it is mad, isn't it? Like going in a pool, like Louise did really helps with hypnobirth and relaxes. So we were like, oh, we'll get her in a bath. And then none of the heating was working in the hospital, so we couldn't have a bath. After the epidural hadn't worked, we had another epidural about 4 hours later. I think that was about midday the next day. I can't remember what time it was actually. I've probably just made that up.
Yeah, but mate, you don't know, do you? No. When everything happens, time just goes and it flies. You never really make a note of it.
Yeah, and then, so I remember going for a coffee and coming back in. There was about four doctors looking with a torch right inside the vagina.
Yeah.
Looking at the baby. They said, go for a break. She's doing really well. I think it was about 8 centimetres then. So I went downstairs and her mum and dad were there and I said to mum, go and see her. And then her mum comes straight back down and said, she's going for a C-section, you're going in. So I was buzzing and got all scrubbed up. I was excited, ready to see the baby. Yeah. She was a bit nervous, but I said, you know, we're about to meet the baby. And I was waiting outside the room. And I was like, oh, I was taking selfies, I was scrubbed up and that was class. doctor come out and went, sorry, you're going to have to go to the room, you can't come in. Went back to the room that we were in and I was like, I hadn't had a shower in 2 days. So I was like, I'll have a shower. Okay. And by the time I took the top off, her dad was going, Cal, the baby's here. Wheeled the baby in and honestly, I was just like, it was well over 30 hours that we'd been awake for, and I was just like,
you get so delirious.
I remember almost breaking down. I remember just being like, because I'd never held a baby before, so they were like.
So they immediately handed you the baby
to hold? No, we came in, wheeled him in.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I was going to do skin on skin, so I took my top was already off because I was ready for a shower.
What a strange time to take a shower.
I know, when your baby's about to get
the baby's born. About to be born, but instead of not allowed in,
yeah.
Let me just have a shower or something.
But yeah, well, I just thought, well, what else would you do?
Like maybe probably wait outside.
Yeah. No, well, I didn't know how long this was going to take. I thought it was going I had my top off. Yeah, I remember saying to the doctor or whatever, she was saying, I don't know how to hold a baby. And she was like, sit down. So I sat down on a chair. Yeah, I remember just proper, like, crying for a bit. And he was crying. And I remember being like, but you can feel him. You could feel him settle on me, which was nice.
Yeah.
Which was like, I was just like, that feels a lot better.
And how heavy was he, Ralph?
7'3".
Oh, decent size. Yeah. How heavy was Alex again?
7'10".
Oh, yours too could have eaten mine at 111. Literally crushed him.
Mad that, no.
And so what did you think when you saw Ralph the first time, though? Because Johnny said he thought Alex was a bit nailey, and I said like a hairless hamster.
I'm not too sure what they do in a C-section, but I don't think they pull him out as hard, do they?
No.
So he wasn't like battered as much, but yeah, I just remember just being thinking, I thought he was beautiful.
You did?
But when I look back on pictures now, I'm like, he wasn't that good looking, was he really now?
No, people think their own babies are beautiful.
You think you should love them. I think that's it. You just love them so much. I don't think you think they're beautiful. I think you've got so much love for them. That's what...
Yeah, well, it was hard for me to love this little man, little Toby, to start off with, because I didn't know whether I was going to lose him. I didn't actually get to hold him for 3 weeks until after he was delivered. So, because he just wasn't well enough. The first time that I held him was when I first started feeling a bit like a dad. 18 days, I was just a spectator, effectively, watching everybody else care for my little baby. The wife, Gemma, she was doing amazing. She couldn't breastfeed because he had like a ventilator in. So she had to express. I remember the first time she ever expressed, one of the nurses in the women's hostel had to help her. She was like, well, I've had this baby at 26 weeks. How am I going to produce milk? This nurse basically ended up sort of syringing milk from Gemma's nipple just to get the first bit out of the colostrum. Yeah. It felt like she could do stuff. But for me, it was a bit mad because I'm just there on the sidelines. And then
I think everybody feels like that at the start. I can see what you mean. Like, you almost felt a bit distant.
Yeah. But did you also feel a bit like a spectator?
Well, I remember dropping you off one night and going, I'm really struggling. Like, I don't feel like I was really bonding that much.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just, oh my God. You're basically there just to, like, obviously look after the mum.
Yeah.
They do want the mum. All they want is that food, and they sleep for the first. I think it was probably about almost 2 months. I was like, I remember me saying, "Oh, do you love him?" And I remember saying, "Oh, only really recently I've really been like proper like buzzing."
Oh my God, that's amazing to know that other dads felt like that, not just me. I mean, I thought mine was a bit different because he was just stuck in this box, but it's incredible to hear that other dads also feel like that. You don't just immediately fall in love in a way.
I think part of it is that you feel like you should. I felt like nothing much had changed. I think that's what I just thought, like, oh, we've just got a baby here now.
Yeah.
Like, it's good, but it's not a life-changing moment that I was expecting.
It wasn't a life-changing moment for me, and it wasn't like something just switched. It's like, now I'm dad now. I do dad. I'm dad now. It wasn't like that.
Yeah.
I just felt exactly the same, but I have a baby.
Yeah.
But it was the maddest experience. And I've been in some mad predicaments, me.
Yeah, you have.
What is the mad?
No, he does. The other day I was getting my hair cut by this lad whose mate, when Johnny used to do the quiz at the shipping forecast, there was this one moment that everybody still talks about.
Yeah, I've heard about this moment.
The dance-off where one lad decided to pleasure another lad, and my hairdresser was, I said hairdresser, barber. Hairdresser. She was lovely.
So those highlights you've got. Yeah.
It was like, oh yeah, it was my mate. And I was like, oh my God, that was your mate. And it's just like one of the most famous things from your quiz night. So, and so you have seen some mad shit.
So to put it into perspective, definitely the birth of my child was more mad than seeing someone wank someone off at the quiz.
Yeah.
When you put it into perspective.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd put them in different categories of mad, though. Yeah.
When you weigh it up, I'm gonna lock in on childbirth.
This is School of Dad with Adam, Johnny, and Callum.
I know I was a bit of a dickhead during the pregnancy and stuff, but I think once I'd seen Maze go through that as well, like the amount of respect I had for her, I was like, yeah, I wouldn't want to get a scrap with her anyway. She's nails.
You're right, mate.
He looks like he's getting slap face.
Yeah, he's got a slap cheek.
He's already got a slap cheek. That's how contagious Alex is.
It's all the enzymes all over the floor.
When Maze was still under for quite... I wouldn't say it's too long, but I knew she'd want to be like the first person to hold him. So as soon as I'd had him for a few minutes, I said, go and do the test that they needed to do. And she was just in a room on her own. I felt really sorry for her. She didn't really have a clue what had gone on. She was just like... lying there.
Was she like, where have you been? I've just had a shower, got a haircut.
Shower, played with the baby a bit, took a few photos, thought we'd pop around the
just
street.
Completed Candy Crush.
The first feed and like, I've got it on video actually. She was still a bit smashed from all the meds from going under. Once Ralph was on her chest and like feeding, she was just looked like so happy. That was when I felt a bit more like, wow, this is class.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, I remember Gemma, it was a day before she met little Toby, and that was crazy seeing her sort of reaction to meeting her baby for the first time. Because when she first came round, she didn't even ask about Toby immediately because she didn't know where
just
she was.
Beach.
And I was like, God, what do I tell her?
What did you say?
I was like, no, he's doing all right. He's
just
cool.
Say it was all right,
he's
yeah.
fine. He's fine. But then he's not fine. He's just falling over.
All right, Bill. I think it's mad that they go in, have the baby, and then just go straight home within a couple of hours.
That's mad.
Especially if you're a new parent.
Yeah, first time. You
like,
want
what am I? You just think, what am I doing? Because it was quite good that there was midwives about, even just like nurses or just even the people that come in and like
just a bit of weight off your shoulders for them first few days.
How can you trust me with a baby? I don't even fucking trust myself to myself. Yeah.
And it was a good help for Louise for with, I don't know if it's a worldwide thing, but Bambi's the breastfeeding support. But that's for another chat. I could talk breastfeeding and disposable nappies all day. Reusable nappies, sorry. breastfeeding, reusable nappies, and baby-led weaning. They're so, my holy trinity of chat.
I think we can all agree that our experiences were all very different.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed that when you first went in, Callum, that you had a birthday surprise.
It was my birthday.
Yeah, that was that noise.
Johnny, I'm very jealous about your gas and air.
Gas and air, off me chops, mate.
Call the cops, he's off his chops.
With the Beatles, Marmalade Skies and all playing that song.
School of Dad, teaching you how to dad.
What do you think you've learned from this podcast, this episode? What do you think you've learned?
I've learned, and from my own previous experiences, don't worry if you don't like, if you're not amazed by him straight away, don't feel like shit. I've got a baby and I don't love it straight away. Don't worry,
that's what I've learned. It takes a little time to absolutely fall in love with your little one. What about you, Johnny? What have you learned?
Everybody's birth is different, and speaking to other people as well, I think for anyone listening to us chatting, you know, our three experiences are, I wouldn't say negative, but things haven't gone right. I would say for all of us. But what I would say is that's not the case for everyone. Do you know what I mean? I've plenty of friends that just in and out, pops out. Do you know what I mean? Squeeze the mum's head and boop, straight out. down the bobsleigh chute. But I think a little bit of it is just knowing, you know, going in a bit prepared and you know what's going on.
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone's got a birth plan, haven't they? But just know it's probably going to go out the window.
Yeah.
And I would say 99.9% chance you're not going to get a blowjob. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say, if you're thinking, do you know what? Yeah, go for the epidural. Yeah, maybe get a blowjob. Cool, pretty cool. That's not going to happen.
Just depends if it's your birthday or not, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not every day do you go into labour.
So if you're thinking about having kids, try and conceive where you think it's going to be born on your birthday.
Yeah, around your birthday, yeah.
Next time on School of Dad.
Toby might not be back next week. He's been all right, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been all right.
He's been all right, yeah.
There is no way we can have all three babies at the same time.
I think we should be able to do it with dads.
Well, I can speak to my au pair and see if she can handle three for a little backhander. Yeah.
Next week, I think we will talk
about chatting.
Getting home.
Getting what?
Getting home.
Getting home. Baby's on the rooftop, step in time.
Gentlemen, I had a lot of fun.
Been a pleasure.
It was good crack.
Three dads, three babies, three completely different lives. This is School of Dad.